all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Listen to this. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts for the spring of the water of life without cost. You see, if you're not thirsting for the Word of God, and if you're not hungry for His righteousness, then you've missed it. If you're excited about your ministry, and there's nothing wrong with ministries, don't let Satan come in and deceive you here. I didn't say anything wrong with ministries. We all are given ministries to be ambassadors for Christ. But what I'm saying is that if that is your focal point, you've missed it. See, ministry is not our focal point. Our relationship is. And he says he comes and he gives it to those that are only that are thirsty and hunger. Other passage says those that are hungry and thirsty, they'll be satisfied. But if we don't come and we don't pick up his word, hungering and thirsting for the truth, we will never get it. We'll never receive it. And it's without cost. Did you get that? It's without cost. See, it doesn't cost me a dime to have a worship service. It doesn't cost me a dime to praise my God. See, in modern day Christianity, they've even got the banks are even loaning churches money now so they can stay open. You want to know why? Because we have taken what God intended for the church and worship to Him be, and we take it into a theatrical and a stage performance. And how can we get more people through the doors? How can we be more? Again, just looking at the competition that I've seen from one church to another of how more clever man can be during this period of time. When my Bible says we're two or more gathered in His name, He'll be among our midst. And I think that should be our goal as we gather together. But listen to this. It says, verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit these things. So the fact that you got to overcome means there's going to be a battle. The fact that you overcome, that means you've got to work your salvation out with fear and trembling. Not that salvation is by works, lest any man should boast. But the fact that is a process by which God puts us through in believing. And that believing leads to discipleship. And discipleship leads to being taught by God. And then when God teaches you and then prepares the heart, then you can receive the Holy Spirit. You see, so many people have been taught and they thought that all you got to do is believe. And there's so many people that taught that all you got to do is be a disciple. No, God is the only one that can convert. And His scriptures stay truth to that. But listen to what it says. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he'll be my son. See, it's about being his children. It's about being his offspring. It's not about doing things for him. It's about who are we. And then it says in verse 8, because I want us to understand, but for the cowardly, okay, and the unbelieving, and I love how they make this next part, and the abominable. See, we talked last Sunday about all the abominations of God. And I love how they say that we're not just going to talk about the unbelievers, but there are some people that believe that are still living an abominable life. They've never gotten out of their sin, but yet they believe in Christ. You know, even Satan believes in Christ. Even the demons believe in Jesus, but yet they shudder. They tremble at their belief. What do we do with our belief? You know, is there that fear, is that trembling that spurs us on to the deeper parts of what God wrote in the book, that we are not to be the same that we were when He found us, but He is to transform us into a new creature and walk according to our calling? Look at Revelation 22, and this is verses 8 through 17. It says, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down and worshiped at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and those who heard the words of this book, worship God. Understand here that angels are servants. We are servants. We're not to worship angels. We're not to worship each other. We're not to worship the prophets. We're not to worship St. Peter, St. whatever the saints are. They are just mere men. They are just mere servants of God. But it says, if you hear and heed the prophecies of these books, then it will lead to the worship of God. And in your life, if it leads you to ministry, if it leads you to all those things, and there's no worship of God, you've missed it. You see, it's about worshiping God. It's about why we gather on Sunday morning, is to bring our praise and worship to Him. God, He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. He goes on to say, and He said to me, do not silt the words of the prophets of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and let the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and let the one who is holy keep himself holy. You understand what this passage of Scripture is saying, is there's going to come a time. There's going to come a time in the end time when the apathy and the tickling of the ears reaches a point in God's time where He says, just let people be where they are. And there's not going to be an opportunity to be saved. See, that should make us tremble. That should make us fear. That should make us hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, that we're not one of these people that He says, just let Him keep on stealing. I'm not after His heart anymore. See, we've made it so that, oh, this God's always going to be pursuing us. Well, it doesn't. It says that even in Scriptures that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. And toward the end time, that's happening. That's happening now as we reach the apathetic stage of our prophecy. He says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Well, see, we all have the same reward. Okay, if we're in the flesh, there's only one reward, and that is eternal separation from God. We'll read that in just a moment. He says, again, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. In other words, we have to be an active participant in this. We have to follow God's guidance and His leadership in getting to the point of salvation, and then the obedience that comes after that. See, I can't keep the commandments, so therefore I know I need a Savior. But see, I now keep the commandments because I am saved. So those people that throw out Jesus and worship and all this stuff, but yet they support an alternative lifestyle, or they support abortion, or they support all these things, you got to look at the life. You got to look at where they're living in sin, or they're not in sin. If they're practicing sin and they're okay with it, they're not a child of God, according to 1 John. I didn't write this. God wrote this. And He wrote it so that we would know. He wrote it so they wouldn't be deceived by Satan. He said, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates of the city. See, outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, and murderers, and idolatries, and everyone who loves the practice of lying. See, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you the things for the churches. I'm the root of the offspring of the David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. See? So, understand that man has only two options. You're either a child of God, or you spend your eternity in the lake of fire and thrown into that second death, you see. That's the only two options that we have. In the flesh, we only have one option, and that is, and what we deserve is the lake of fire. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28. It says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who fall asleep. Understanding is talking about a resurrection here. He is the first to be resurrected. Have you been resurrected? Are you waiting to die to be resurrected? See, Jesus Christ and God's Word says we are to be resurrected now. We're to live that life and walk that life now. This resurrection that He's talking about here is not a resurrection that comes after we die. That's the second coming of Christ. This is talking about a virtual now, here, today resurrection. And we'll talk about that as we get into the passage of Scripture. For since by man came death, see, so one man, death came by man. Also came the resurrection of the dead by one man. For as in Adam all die, also in Christ shall be made alive. So you understand that if you have the seed of Adam, your destiny is the lake of fire. There is no destiny other for man than the lake of fire. But you see, if you're in Christ, then you're made to be alive. We're no longer to be dead. We're now to be spiritual beings that live a spiritual life and controlling this flesh by spiritual power from the Holy Spirit in our lives. But each This is verse 23. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. I love this part. Because you have to understand that Jesus was never supposed to be a religion. Jesus never was supposed, yes, he is exalted, yes, he's glorified, he's the glory of the Father, but this passage of Scripture hopefully will put us into perspective to us that Jesus Christ is that gateway, is that veil that allows us to go to the Father. See, we can't go to the Father. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And listen to what this says. Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to God. You see, this kingdom that he's building, this king that he is, he now delivers it up to God, the Father, when he has abolished all the rule and authority and power. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. See, the last enemy that he's going to abolish is death. You know, I don't have to die that second death. You don't have to die that second death. We all will die the first death. You know, just think about what the first lie was. Think about just the initial sin. When Eve was there and God's not gonna kill you if you eat from that tree. Well, guess what? Death now reigns in humanity because of that disobedience to God. Well, see, Satan is not new. Satan does have new tactics. You know what now says is that God will not allow you to go to hell. That's the new lie. That we live today is the same lie that he told Eve, that God doesn't mean what he says. God is not going to bring to pass what he wrote in his book. And the world is believing this. I just read to you what happens at the end time. If your name's not written in the Lamb's book of life, you will go into eternal damnation. Then he goes on to say in verse 27, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is expected who put all things in subjection of him. And when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself, listen to this, the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, that God may be all in all. You see, if our worship through Jesus Christ doesn't exalt the Father, if our ministry through Jesus Christ doesn't exalt the Father, then we've missed it. We've got a religion that's allowing us to have God, have the world, and have all these things, buying into the lie that God will not send people to hell. No, people send their own selves to hell because God put his Son upon a cross so that you and I might be able to become the righteousness of God. And then let's look at Luke 10, starting in verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. You see, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. So again, the disciples were excited. They were excited about their ministry. But you know what? They missed the most important thing in their life. And listen to this. And I'm wondering if maybe this is why we sometimes just take the gathering together and the worshiping and our life, our everyday life, so lackadaisically, is because we've missed this. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this ministry. Do not rejoice in the fact that I gave you power. But he says, rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. See, that's the resurrection we should be celebrating today, not the resurrection of Christ. That's the reason we should be getting together, is to celebrate. We're celebrating the wrong resurrection. We're not celebrating the right one. See, and I'm going to back this up by Scripture, because I told you, always trust the Scriptures. Look at Luke 23:39-43. And bear with me. And if I go a little long today, I'm sorry, we're not having Sunday school, so I got another hour. So it says in verse 39 of 23 of Luke, and the one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. See, but the other answered and rebuked him, do you not even fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? I think we skipped the cross too soon. I don't think we spent enough time on the cross and focusing on what happened on that cross. There's three men there. One has the power to come off the cross anytime he wants to. He could call 1,000 legions of angels down and God would deliver him from this. As we know in the garden when he prayed, God, take this cup from me, but if it's only your will, then let it be done. You see? So understand that you have the one in the focal point of Jesus who has that power. And then you've got the other two criminals who have got the same fate. They're both there. And we don't. And here's what we don't know. And here's the things that are left out of Scripture. Because it says that if everything was written down, what Jesus Christ did on this earth, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it. So therefore, there was a conversation, I'm sure, among those three. And the one says, oh, all those things that you can do. Man, look at this. Get us out of our predicament. I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm going to change my life. Why don't you save yourself and save us too? That's what the one criminal wanted. He just wanted Jesus Christ for his self-preservation and get him out of his predicament. You see, people that come to Christ for that reason have missed the spiritual connotation of why Jesus came. He didn't come to get us out of a pickle. He didn't come to get us out of the messes that we're in. He came to save us from those things. You see, and this is what I like the other thief. He answered and said, and rebuked the guy. He said, wait a minute, don't you understand? We deserve this. He said, do you not even fear God? He said, because you're getting ready to meet him. Since you are under the same sentence. And we indeed and justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. See, at some point in that conversation, at some point in that time of being with Christ, at some point in the reading of the Word of God, we come to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of where we stand before God. And we find out that we're hopeless and we're helpless without the blood of Jesus Christ. But somewhere along the line, this man confessed his sins. Somewhere along the line, this man responded to the truth that was hung upon the tree. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, you shall be with me in paradise. You see, water baptism doesn't save you. This man wasn't baptized by water. But this man was baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is now about the sixth hour, and the darkness fell, and all the whole land until the ninth hour. The sun being obscured, and the veil in the temple was torn in two. The significance is that there's no longer a priesthood on earth. There's no longer a priesthood. You see, when he tore that veil, he opened up to the Holy of Holies. You see, and you read in Hebrews, it says that we only have one priest, that we are to call no one father. We are to call no one father on this earth but God. And Jesus Christ is our priest, and he is our priest that is no like other priests. He doesn't have to sacrifice for his sins. He is a perpetual. He doesn't die. He doesn't have to go through any ritual. You know what? He was perfect from the beginning because he had the seed of God in him. He was overshadowed by Mary, which gave us the virgin birth. And that's why you can't separate these holidays out. You got to know the whole story. You got to know the whole truth of what this is. And then it says, and then the sun being obscured and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus crying out with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having this, he breathes his last. Understand that Jesus gave his life. No one took his life. They tried to beat him to a pulp. They tried to kill him before he went to the cross. But you know what? They couldn't do it. It says in the scriptures that he wasn't even recognizable by a man. And that's because Jesus voluntarily, in the obedience to his Father, gave his life for me and you. So what does that mean for us? Let's look at Ephesians. Chapter 2, 1 through 6. You see, just like the thieves on the cross, we start out like they did. Listen to what this says. And you were dead in your trespasses of sin. See, we are born spiritually dead. We have the seed of Adam, which doesn't allow us to know anything spiritual unless we have a new birth. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. Don't ever forget where you came from. You see, a true child of God will be humble. A true child of God will have compassion for that one. We got to get off this abortion thing. We got to get off this homosexual thing. You see, it's about the sins of this world. You know why abortion is so rampant? Because of our immorality. We breed like rats. And we have all these unwanted pregnancies, not in the institution that God ordained, which was in the family. We have thrown that completely out. You want to solve abortion? Don't shut down the abortion clinic. Begin to live morally. That's how you get rid of abortion. But see, we pick those sins because we're not doing those. But just like I talked about last week, the abomination of pride in our life to say that, no, I can't be deceived. No, I've already got this figured out. No, I know my own heart, when the Bible refutes all of that. So it goes on to say in verse 4, but God being rich in mercy, understand, it's his mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised, listen to this, and raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Even though we're still in the flesh, even though we're here, understand that this is a truth, that when Jesus Christ was raised, we were also raised. And we'll get into that a little deeper here. Colossians 2. In verse 12, verse 11. And in him you were also circumcised. Okay, did you know that you were circumcised? Did y'all know you were circumcised? Huh? Do you know what the first circumcision was? It was a partial removal of the flesh, but it left the human nature intact. This circumcision is talking about the total removal of the flesh from us, so that we have that ability to walk, if we walk in the Spirit, to walk above sin. You see, he said, it's without hands. It wasn't done by humans. It was done by the Spirit of God. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. See, having been buried with him in baptism, okay? So if you have not been crucified, and if you have not been buried, and if you have not experienced this resurrection, see, this baptism is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in which case we receive that gift from God that allows us to be the children of God. We can't be the children of God without it. We are also raised up with him. See, we're raised up. If you weren't lifted up, if you weren't crucified, if you weren't buried, if you did not receive the Spirit, the Bible is very clear that